Scripture reading this morning comes from John chapter 5, verses 31, 32, and verse 41. John 5, starting in verse 31. If I alone bear witness about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who bears witness about me, and I know that the testimony that he bears about me is true. Verse 41. I do not receive glory from people.
Morning, everybody. I'd like to welcome our members and visitors alike. It's good to see you all once again. These are my favorite days of the week, the day in which we can come together and worship our God in spirit and in truth. It's good to see all of you. I hope you're doing well, and hope that we can help you in whatever way we can. If you have any needs, just let us know. But what we're talking about this morning is the difference in religions, the difference in the religion of God and the difference in a religion of man. So we're going to relate this to witnesses. Witnesses. How does that relate to witnesses? So we're going to look at the difference between our religion and the religions of the world and of the denominational world so that we will know that we're following the true Christ Jesus. Our main text is John chapter 5. So if you haven't opened there, if you would, turn to John chapter 5 and verses 31 through 47 is where we're going to focus for the remainder of our morning. But Jesus' church, the church of Christ, is not a denomination. Now, I hear that question all the time. What denomination are you from? And I have to take a second, because I have to say, I'm not from a denomination, because my church didn't denominate from anything. We didn't separate from anything. The way that the New Testament lays out, that's what we do. So we couldn't have denominated from anything. We couldn't have separated from... That's what a denomination is. A denomination separated from something, something at the first, which was the New Testament. So these denominations that you see, whenever somebody asks you that question, for us who are here, worshiping in spirit and truth, the way that God has laid out, we're not a denomination because we didn't separate from the New Testament. We're following God's way, the New Testament. That's it. So we're the New Testament church, Romans 16:16. We're the churches of Christ. That's us. There's no denomination about it. There's no separation about it. There's no diversity. There's no non-unification. No, we're the church of Christ. So that's how it started. That's how we still are now, because we follow the New Testament as it was first laid out, just as the church even back in that day followed it. So we're not a denomination. We didn't denominate or separate from anything. We are the church of Christ, Romans 16:16. For a religion to be authentic and from God, it does need to have multiple witnesses and powerful support. So how do we know that Jesus was from God? How do we know that the Church of Christ is the true authentic religion in this day from God? How do we know? How do we know that what we're following, what we maybe dedicated our whole lives to, and following Jesus and following the way of Christ, how do we know that Jesus is the Christ? How do we know that this religion is authentic? Well, Jesus even testifies this very thing. He explains this very thing. And the way that even we ourselves can reason in our minds, reason that a religion is authentic or not, is if it has multiple witnesses and if it has power to it. If it has power behind it, if it has multiple people who witnesses it. People back in that day, people throughout time, were witnessing what happened to prove that this is a true religion with divine background, divine support, divine will. That the only way to prove that is to have witnesses, really. So that's why we can understand that Jesus is the true Christ, because of the countless witnesses that he has. And that's what we're going to be talking about, is the testifying here that he does of all these different witnesses. Of course, we can consider that all these denominations and the witnesses of them, sometimes they start out with one witness, sometimes they have four witnesses, sometimes it's a couple. Sometimes it's a man and a woman who start a brand new denomination. They denominate from the New Testament. They come up with a new culture, new ideas, new beliefs. That's no strange thing. People have done that ever since the New Testament was brought about. Ever since the beginning, There were people doing that. They were believing in other things and immediately separating, denominating from the Church of Christ. So that's no secret. That's no strange thing. That happens today as well. And we've got countless denominations to the point where people think even the New Testament church is a denomination. Even though the New Testament church couldn't have denominated from anything because it originally came from Jesus. The very one who everybody is denominating from, His words. Well, we who follow His words, we didn't denominate from anything. Once again, we're the Church of Christ. But Jesus' church, Jesus' words, and the New Testament, I want you to notice that they did not come from a man, but from the divine authority of the universe, also known as God. These words, man was to never add to, never change, and never take away from. As Revelation 22:18-19 so blatantly puts it, we can't add or take away from the Scriptures. And so, those very Scriptures, some people say it only pertains to Revelation. Well, so what? Even back in the Old Testament, just as it says in the New Testament, you couldn't add or take away. So both Testaments, all the Testaments of God ever, always said that you can't take away or add to the words of God. You can't change God's Word anyway. But of course, man with their own beliefs, they put in things to the New Testaments. They have their own beliefs and they walk away from the New Testament, create denominations, create creeds. You know what a creed is? Everybody know what a creed is here? They're books that denominations or other groups of people or that people create that, or they claim to even have divine inspiration from them, but they have no spiritual backing on that. They have no miraculous backing on that. The difference between them and the Bible is that the Bible is infinite in everything. The Bible is completely unified. If you don't look at it with any private interpretation, the Bible is completely unified. It has countless witnesses. About 40 different writers across the entire expanse of the Old and New Testament Scriptures. 40 different writers from different backgrounds, with different languages, with different families. All these different people talking about one God. About one God, about one Messiah. Prophesied. And then that became Jesus Christ. Gave you the genealogy from Old to New Testament. Talks about Jesus, how He came about. All these different things, all these witnesses. Even His line, even His family line is a witness to Jesus as the Christ. So all these things are proven in the New Testament. You read a creed, you're not going to find all this proof. You're not going to find all this evidence. You just won't. You won't find the miraculous backing either. I want you to understand that these are witnesses. These are people that saw Jesus in His time. These are people that saw Jesus doing miracles. Not one person, not two people, countless people. Not even 12 people. Not even the 12 apostles alone. Countless people. Luke was not an apostle. He's one of the gospel accounts. Luke was likely not even not even walking around with the ministry of Christ. Yet, he wrote one of the gospel accounts. He had affiliations with Paul the apostle. He was with Paul the apostle a lot. He was not even one of the apostles. There are countless witnesses to Christ. People who saw the miracles that even Paul was doing, of course, by the power of the Holy Spirit. But all these different things going on, all these churches even performing miracles because of the power of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, all these things are witnessed. So there's countless witnesses. What we have here is the difference between a religion of God and a religion of man. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. John chapter 5, verses 31 through 35. Let's read it. If I bear witness of myself, John 5, 31 through 35. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. Verse 33, you have sent John. So here's the first witness. You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Verse 34, yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. So John, being the first witness, John the Immerser. Everybody know John the Immerser? John chapter 1. You'll find him in the gospel accounts. He's usually in the beginning of those accounts. But in John chapter 1, verses 29 through 36, put your marker there in John 5 and turn back to John 1. John chapter 1. Let's read about John for a minute. Let's read John's testimony. John had testimonies himself, but it wasn't about John. It was about Jesus. It was about the coming Messiah. So let's read what he says. He did support Jesus as the Messiah. Verse 29, chapter 1. Let's read it. The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You notice it was Jesus, verse 30. This is He of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. John the Immerser. People know him as John the Baptist. A lot of people call him John the Baptist. We've talked about the word baptism. We know him as John the Immerser as well. He testified Jesus is the Son of God in verse 34, as he just said it. This is the Son of God. Once again, verse 35, the next day John stood with his two disciples. He looked at Jesus and he walked and he said, as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God, verse 36. So, John, the Immerser, he was one who was really one of the last prophets of, you might think, the Old Testament. As all those prophets in the Old Testament were prophesying about a coming Messiah, I want you to think about it. If you were a Jew back in that day, if you were an Israelite, you were always praying for a Messiah. You were always praying for a deliverer. Well, that's one of the things also John was doing. But John was revealed, it was revealed to him, that Jesus would be the Messiah. And even he got to witness the baptism of Jesus, for he himself was the one who baptized Jesus. Let's read that back in Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew 3, and we're going to start in verse 13. So Jesus doesn't bear witness of himself. John knew Jesus as the Christ. That's our first witness here. But Matthew 3, 13 through 17. Right there in the beginning of Matthew. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan, verse 13, to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. Verse 16, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. What's the witness that we also see here? The Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit. Verse 17, next witness. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I want you to notice that these were two different gospel accounts. John chapter 1, verse 29 through 36, talking about this very thing right here. And back in Matthew 3, verses 13 through 17, talking about the very account itself, accounting this whole thing as John saw it before his very eyes as a witness to all these things. He's accounting Jesus as the Christ, as the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove, as the Father spoke and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Just as God the Father did at the Transfiguration on the Mountain. You remember that account as well? Right here at Jesus' baptism, the Father, the Holy Spirit, they're all seeing this. They're all witnessing this. Jesus is proved to be from God here. So as Jesus is making his testimony, his first witness is very powerful because John the Immerser was no person who didn't see anything. John saw really a lot that Jesus did. John was one of the ones who had it revealed to him that Jesus was the Christ before anybody else did. He was really the last prophet of the Old Testament. And he would prove that Jesus was the Messiah, even himself. And of course, he would help everybody to get to Christ. He would even start with a baptism of repentance to try to start out that baptism thing going so that people would be able to go to Christ easily. John was really, some people would call it a forerunner to Christ right beforehand, and then Christ would come. So John being the first witness that we can talk about, but the Father and Holy Spirit also verified Jesus as the Christ multiple times throughout Scripture. John chapter 3, let's turn there. John 3, 27 through 35. John 3, 27 through 35. Here we have John again. John answered and said, verse 27, chapter 3, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. This is John's testimony, basically almost the same as Jesus is speaking in John 5. Verse 28, you yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. Verse 29, he who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. Verse 34. For he whom God has sent speaks the word of God. For God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hands. He who believes in the Son, verse 36, I want you to catch this. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. What did John start out with? What did he start out with? Verse 27. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. The testimony that all these denominations give comes from a man. Comes from somebody with a new idea. Somebody who's separated from the New Testament is somebody who had a new idea. Somebody who had a new belief. Somebody who had a new way of doing things that didn't have divine authority to do that. For it was supposed to be this way, as Revelation says, until Jesus came again. You ever wonder why Revelation 22, 18 through 19 is at the very end of the Bible? That which is complete and made perfect. The very end of the Bible. And then after that, what does it say? At the very last scripture. Surely I'm coming quickly. The last scripture you can read. Some of the last scriptures there. But right before that, don't add or take away. Then right after that, surely I'm coming quickly. There wasn't supposed to be another way to do things. There wasn't supposed to be another testament, another belief, another way, another opinion, another law. It's already here. This is Jesus' law. So we can talk about witnesses as well, but nobody was to add or take away. The Church of Christ is not a denomination. We are the original. We are the original church, the way that it's supposed to be done, the way that God wants it for the New Testament age. There was an Old Testament age. Now there's a New Testament age. That's the one we're living in. Just as they followed the Old Testament back in that day, we got to follow the New Testament now. There's no ifs, buts about it. There's no other way that you can do it to get to heaven. There's only one path to heaven. It's by this testament, this New Testament. If you don't follow the New Testament, you can't get to heaven. You can't. You just can't. This is the way God wants it. And God, who is ruler over heaven, who created heaven and earth, is the one who dictates how you get to heaven. So we need to understand that. You can't add or take away. That'll keep you from going to heaven. That's even warned in the very end of the Bible. So why do people do it? That is the craziest thing, and that is the greatest question that we can ask this morning. Why do people do it? I'm still trying to figure that out myself as I read about denominational doctrines. Why do people do that? Why do they separate? Why do they denominate from the Lord's church? Why do they do that? Let's continue talking about witnesses. How sad it is that mankind listens more to men sometimes than they do to God Almighty. How sad it is. How sad that they listen to one witness or a couple witnesses because they want to believe in a certain way. They want to make right their sins rather than listening to Almighty God. How sad that is. They give up heaven and they give up their own soul for that belief that they have, for their wanting to stay in their sin. How sad that is. So let's get to our next witness here. Next witness. Continue in our main verses. John chapter 5. John 5, 36 through 38. Who's the next witness? We already talked about him. Already mentioned him. But Jesus doesn't bear witness of himself, but the Father knows Jesus as the Christ. Who are we talking about? The Father God. God the Father. John 5, verse 36. But I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself, who sent me, has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his form. Verse 38. But you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. So, the Father also bearing witness of Jesus. Jesus testifying here that he was sent by the Father God. As he does all throughout the New Testament scripture, Jesus doesn't testify that this was, you know, some vision that he had. He testifies that every word that he is saying is from God. Every word that he is intending for man to be taught is from God. It's all the will of God. Jesus lives, John 4:34, to do the will of the Father, as he told that Samaritan woman, as he told his disciples. He lives to do the will of the Father. So, same thing here. The Father sent me. The Father testified of me, even himself. At the baptism we just read of Jesus, God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Who witnessed that? John. Many other people maybe who were standing there. But John saw that. He was a witness, but a greater witness than that, than even John, even the example used, was the Father himself. So as verse 36 says, I want you to catch something. Catch something here with me. Verse 36. "For the works which the Father has given me to finish," verse 36, "the very works that I do bear witness of me." What's Jesus talking about? Is it not miracles? Did many countless people not see Jesus doing miracles before their very eyes? And the people who hated him saw miracles before their very eyes. I tell you, there are multiple accounts, even outside of Scripture, that talk about Jesus having made a spectacle to mankind and doing all sorts of wonders. Romans, Jews, all types of people. When I was back in the preacher school, we read about all types of accounts where people were talking about this Jesus. Yes, people from back in that day and time talking about Jesus doing all these wonders. And now what do we have? We have a massive, massive account of many different events, many different times, many different scenes, with tons of different people talking about this Jesus. And Jesus is using these very works and these very times to prove him as the Christ, because those miracles couldn't have been done by a man. The water to wine, all those different things, raising the dead, raising Lazarus from the dead, none of those things could have been done by a man. You might try, you know, sometimes we try to act like we have the Force or something from Star Wars. Anybody ever done that before? Try to act like you have the Force or something from Star Wars? I've done that. You try to move a car out of your way? I've done that. Get out of my way. Move the car in front of you, out of your way. We can't do that because we're powerless. God could do that, though. God has the miracles. God has the power. God has infinite power. We as man, we can't do that. No matter how hard we try to push that person out of the way, no matter how hard we try to force hold that person, like in Star Wars, we can't do that. It just doesn't work. But God can. God can turn anything into whatever he wants. He can make whatever he wants, just as he did in the beginning. And of course, Jesus, doing that throughout the New Testament accounts of the Gospels, he even uses that as a witness. So we see John as a witness, we see the Father as a witness, we see the miracles as a witness. All these different things that Jesus is the true Christ, that we're following the true, authentic religion of God. Acts 2:22. I'll just read it as a quick little reference. Acts chapter 2 and verse 22 says there, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you, by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know." Who's this speaking here? This is Peter. And also, Peter just mentioned prophecies by the prophet Joel. So even back in the New Testament, talking about Jesus, Joel talking about the miracles that would happen, talking about even the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit here. Joel prophesied these things. And Jesus of Nazareth is the man that's doing these things before their very eyes. How awesome, the Messiah is here. Miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Peter says, as you yourselves also know, because these people saw these things that happened with Jesus. They're seeing even these things that are happening with the apostles. Whenever the Holy Spirit's given, of course, they're going to see all these miracles happen. They're going to wonder, how can this be? What is the message that they're speaking? Multitudes start coming. And the New Testament is preached. And that's how we have the New Testament. Proved by countless witnesses to miracles. Proved by countless witnesses to Jesus Christ, who preached the New Testament, who showed the way that we should live as Christians. all these different things, these are all witnesses to Christ as the true Messiah. John chapter 21. John chapter 21. Let's read that as well. John chapter 21 and verse 24. John 21 and verse 24. When y'all hired me, you should have known that your hands were going to get tired. Going to all these scriptures. John 21, 24 through 25. But Peter seeing him, or verse 24 rather, verse 24, chapter 21. This is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things. And we know that his testimony is true. That disciple being John. Verse 25. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. That's talking about all the things that Jesus did when he was on the earth. The world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. So, is Jesus the Christ, even John the Apostle, two different people, John the Immerser and John the Apostle, two different people. All these people, also John the Apostle, being witnesses to Christ, to the countless miracles of Jesus. Multiple different people from multiple different backgrounds, once again. So Jesus doesn't bear witness of only himself. He's giving you multiple witnesses to help testify to you that he is the Christ. As men testify, well, I had this vision. Well, back in the day, 200 years ago, this person had this vision. He saw this vision with all these angels and these golden plates and all these different things. But yet, that person had that vision. And then Jesus, who's given you all of these accounts, with all these witnesses, with all these miracles, direct miracles. They've got one vision, one dream, one creed, one specific little account, one maybe a massive account, whatever it is. And then Jesus has got tons and testifies himself as the Christ with tons of witnesses, with God behind him, and even to the death Jesus went to try to prove to you that Jesus is the Christ and to be able to get you to be forgiven of your sins. Even to the death Jesus did that to try to tell you, I'm the Christ. Remember how the saints rose from the grave? All those different things that happened? The Father even then, the Spirit even then, working then to try to prove Jesus is the Christ. All these things these people would see in that day and time and would witness and write down. All these apostles, all these disciples. Not all the writers of the New Testament Scripture were apostles. There were multiple witnesses to God. Multiple witnesses to Jesus. So we can also look at a good account, a witness-based account. 1 John in chapter 5, verses 6 through 13. Let's see if we got time for that. 1 John 5, 6 through 13. Maybe I'll just read a little bit of it. 1 John 5, 6 through 13. All right. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. That's the Holy Spirit. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. All the Godhead, once again, as John is saying, even in his later epistles, all the Godhead supports Jesus as the Christ. Verse 8. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, verse 9, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. Verse 11, and this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Verse 13, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that's Jesus, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Of course, if we continue through verses 14 through 16, it talks about the confidence that we have in God and in Christ, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. He even talking about many different things here in 1 John. I won't go over them. We don't have enough time, but I wish I always had more time. But Hebrews chapter 1, let's flip to Hebrews. I don't want you to miss some really essential parts of this. Hebrews chapter 1, I'm trying to unify all this for you so you see that there are tons and tons of witnesses for Jesus. Hebrews chapter 1. Now, we don't know the writer of Hebrews. Some say it's Paul. Some say it's Apollos. Some say it's this guy or that guy or whoever it is. But the writer of Hebrews, also an inspired scripture of the Holy Spirit, also that, well, even this person, whoever wrote this, the Holy Spirit obviously is testifying that Jesus is the Christ. Chapter 1 and verse 1 of Hebrews. God, who at various times, verse 1, in various ways, spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Now, if we flip to the next chapter, you read almost the same thing. The next chapter, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him? God also, bearing witness, here it is, with both signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to His own will. So, all these different witnesses, many different accounts we've read, talking about all these witnesses. Let's flip back to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Jesus doesn't bear witness of Himself. The Scriptures know Jesus as the Christ. Now, what I'm about to tell you, Christians, what I'm about to tell you is a lot of different Scriptures. A lot of different Scriptures. You may not remember these offhand with the speed at which I will be saying them. But a lot of different Scriptures. Old Testament prophecy speaking of Jesus as the Christ. Speaking of the exact things that Jesus would fulfill when He was Jesus. When He was on the earth, when He was in His ministry, Jesus would fulfill all these things, of course, prophesied by the Old Testament prophets. So Jesus doesn't bear witness of Himself, but the Scriptures know Jesus as the Christ, even the Old Testament Scriptures. Isaiah the prophet. Let's read first John chapter 5, verses 39 through 40. I forgot our main text there. John 5, 39 through 40. You search the Scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of Me. But you are not willing to come to Me that you may have life. So they search the Scriptures. They see Jesus is carrying everything out. He is everything that was prophesied about, but yet they don't follow Him. Now, let's talk about some of the prophecies. Some of the prophecies here. Isaiah the prophet spoke of Jesus as the Christ. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3. It's one of the prophecies that we have. Isaiah the prophet. And it was confirmed in Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. If you go back and read all these different prophecies I'm about to tell you, we don't have the time. We don't have the time. I wish we did. I really wish we did. But Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3, confirmed in Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Also, Genesis, the very book of creation itself, spoke of Jesus as the Christ. The seed would be promised, and that seed would be Jesus. As we can read in Genesis chapter 26, verses 1 through 5. Genesis chapter 26, verses 1 through 5. I see some people taking notes. That's wonderful. Genesis chapter 26, 1 through 5, and it was fulfilled in Matthew 1, 1 through 17. What does Matthew start out with? Is it not a genealogy of Jesus? Yeah, it is. A genealogy of Christ, talking about all that time ago, leading all the way up to Christ, all the way from David, all the way to Abraham, all that time back. So, Jesus is the Christ. Even by genealogy, it was prophesied. In Genesis chapter 26, verses 1 through 5, it was promised that seed would come through Abraham's line, would come through Isaac's line. Of course, Isaac, who was about to sacrifice his... No, that was Abraham. Was about to sacrifice his own son. Abraham knew that the seed would be through his line, and Isaac was his only son, yet Abraham still trusted in God. We know that story. But, of course, it would carry on through Isaac. It would carry on through Jacob. It would keep on going and going and going and going and going. So you can read that on your own time, but Matthew 1, 1 through 17. The Psalms also spoke of Jesus in parables. In parables. Psalm 72, or 78 that is, Psalm 78, 1 through 2. Psalm 78, 1 through 2. And that was confirmed in Matthew 13, 34 through 35. I want you to understand as I'm saying these, there are countless prophecies. Countless. And I don't have the time to, in this period right now, unless you come tonight, I don't have the time to talk about all these different prophecies and to go to each of them and read all of them out. I'm giving you all these, maybe to read on your own time, and there are so many more. There are hundreds more. Hundreds more. Hundreds, hundreds, hundreds more that Jesus carries out. He fulfills everything while He was on the earth. So Psalms also spoke of Jesus' parables. Isaiah, once again, he spoke of Jesus' parables also. Isaiah spoke of Jesus' parables also. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. Isaiah 6, 9 through 10. That was confirmed in Matthew 13, 14 through 15. Isaiah 6, 9 through 10, confirmed in Matthew 13, 14 through 15. Now, Zechariah... Also, Zechariah, we remember Zechariah. We're going over the minor prophets. We're going to go over him soon. He foretold the piercing of Jesus' body on the cross. A lot of people know about the prophecy of Jesus' body being pierced on the cross, about the unbroken bones. Jesus' bones were not broken on the cross. All those different prophecies there. Zechariah was one who foretold the piercing of Jesus' body on the cross. That was in Zechariah 12:10. Let's go to Zechariah. Zechariah 12:10. I want you to just get one of these. Zechariah 12:10. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10. This is one of our minor prophets. And I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me whom they pierced. Yes, will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. So Zechariah 12:10, that was where that was there, and that was fulfilled, anybody know? In John 19. In John 19, when Jesus was on the cross. John 19, 34 through 37. So let's turn to John, let's get one of these. John 19, 34 through 37. John 19, 34 through 37. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you may believe. For these things were done that the Scripture should be fulfilled. Not one of his bones shall be broken. And again another Scripture says, they shall look on him whom they pierced. That's what you just read in Zechariah 12:10. So also the unbroken bones there, that would be in Psalm 34:20. The most likely verse for that, Psalm 34:20. Psalm 34:20. And that was, of course, read in the verse you just confirmed, in the verse you just read, John 19, verse 36. For these things were done that the Scripture should be fulfilled, not one of his bones shall be broken. That was in Psalm 34:20. So there's a lot of different prophecies that we can read about. The Scriptures support that Jesus is the Christ. I'm going to give you two more. You can write them down. We won't flip to them because of time, but you can flip to them if you want to on your own time. I do encourage you very, very much to. Anybody remember Simeon? Remember Simeon? Simeon might be one a little harder to remember. He didn't have that much time, or screen time in the Bible, you might say. But Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 35, Simeon, he held Jesus up when he was a baby, and he acknowledged Jesus as the Christ because God revealed it to him whenever Jesus was a baby, whenever Mary and Joseph brought that baby, of course, to the temple to be purified and to go through the things they needed to do. Well, he would hold him up. Simeon would hold him up, and he would say, "This is the Son of God." Luke 2, 25 through 35. So he would testify that there as well, even at Jesus' birth. John the Immerser, even his prophecy of the Holy Spirit baptism, the miracles. Remember the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 3, verses 11 through 12. Here's some more notes for you. Matthew 3, 11 through 12. Acts 2, 1 through 4. Acts 4, 31. And Acts 10, 44 through 46. Preacher, you're wearing me out with a lot of scriptures. You're wearing me out with a lot of scriptures, right? I'm not speaking my own words. That's the point. I'm not speaking my words and my thoughts and my opinions. That's the point. I'm speaking God's word. That's the whole point of this. So, Jesus doesn't bear witness of Himself. That's also Jesus' point. He doesn't bear witness of Himself. He bears witness from God. He's sent from God. His words are from God. That's His witness as well. Says, I'm telling you, I'm testifying of Jesus. I'm testifying only the words of Christ. That's what Jesus is saying too. His testifying is because it's all from God. He has countless witnesses to prove it. So Moses also, if we could flip back to our main text, John chapter 5, John 5, 45 through 47. We're almost done. Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, John 5, verse 45. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe in my words? So, Jesus, of course, testifying that even Moses himself prophesied about Jesus. What do the Jews call the Old Testament? The Law of Moses. Everybody looked up to Moses. Moses was like the great big dude for the Jews. Abraham was also like that. And if they're not listening to Moses on the prophecies, why would they listen to Jesus whenever those prophecies were about Jesus? So, that's Jesus' point here. That's the testifying that Jesus is making. Moses testifies Jesus as the Christ as well. So, they should know that this by Jesus proving with miracles and by Jesus carrying out every scriptural prophecy made even by Moses. Now, one of those is in Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 18. You can mark that down. Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 18. Moses truly prophesied about Jesus. That's in Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 18. Confirmed in John 5, 45 through 47. John 6, 14. John 8, 28 through 29. You notice I'm giving you tons and tons of scriptures? Yeah, multiple accounts. Acts 3, 23 and Hebrews 6, 4 through 6. The point is that all these different witnesses are showing you that Jesus is the Christ. That's the whole point of this lesson. Jesus doesn't have to accuse Old Testament followers for not knowing Him as the Christ because Moses himself, if they don't believe Moses, who's talking about Jesus beforehand, all those years before, for even followers of the Law of Moses, Moses talked about Jesus. If they're not believing Jesus or Moses' words about Jesus, why would they believe Jesus? So Moses even is their accuser in these things if they don't believe in Moses. That's the point. Now the last thing. John 5, 41 through 44. Jesus doesn't bear witness to Himself. His honor is not from man. Jesus doesn't bear witness to Himself. Listen to that carefully. His honor is not from man. A lot of people create religions, create denominations, we talked about politics earlier. Create political parties, create groups, create organizations, create all types of things with maybe religion behind it so that they can get wealth, power, fame. That's no secret to us. Men always try to do that. They've always tried to do that. And once the New Testament popped up, just like the Law of Moses back in the day, they did the same thing with the Law of Moses. The New Testament, same thing. You know all the sects of the Jews? The Sadducees, the Essenes, the Zealots, the Pharisees, all these different sects, all these different ones? All these different groups and organizations with religion behind their name of the Law of Moses, they were all having new ideas and new beliefs. Some even, not even counting all the prophetical scriptures, but only the Pentateuch, Genesis through Deuteronomy. The Sadducees were guilty of that. But all these different groups, it was the same back then as it is today. Denomination after denomination, more and more as the years go by. But understand, Christians, friends, that this is the Church of Christ. Why? Because we follow what the Church of Christ did back in the New Testament, in that day and time. The Church of Christ, Romans 16, 16, did it God's way. And we do it God's way. We don't insert our own opinions and our own beliefs and ways to do things. We do it God's way. So His honor is not from man. Jesus did not do everything He did to be honored by man. John 4:34, as He said there, His purpose was to do the will of the Father who sent Him. Now, 1 Timothy, well, let's read John 5:41 through 44. I do not receive honor from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. Verse 43, I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe he will receive honor from one another and does not seek the honor that comes only from God? So basically, Jesus' argument is here, why are you believing men when you should be believing in God? Why do you take so much to believing in men when you can believe in blatant miracles before your eyes? Jesus was there talking before them. He was performing miracles before. Why would you believe in a man not able to do that when you can believe in Jesus? Why are you still believing in Pharisees when you can believe in Jesus? That's the point here. So all these different witnesses and also Jesus' honor is not from men. Men have perverted religion for generations. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus even went to death for His own religion's sake, for His own purpose's sake, to prove that He's the Christ. He went to death as somebody who didn't have money, as somebody who didn't have fame, as somebody who was lowly and a servant. He went to death like that. So men are different than Jesus. Jesus is God. Jesus was perfect. So we need to understand the difference here. We are following the true and authentic religion that is from God in this day and time. Another verse we can look at is 1 Timothy 6, 3 through 5, but we're going to go ahead and finish up here. 1 Timothy 6, 3 through 5. So you can mark that down. You can mark that down. But Jesus' purpose, I want you to understand, was to do the Father's will, whenever even it came to death by others. Matthew 26:39. Matthew 26:39. If you have any needs this morning, any needs at all, if you need prayers for yourself or for a family member, for a friend, whatever it may be, let us help you this morning. Let us take care of you, whoever that is that you're praying for, you need prayers for. If you need forgiveness of sins, get rid of that today. You need to get all sins out of your life all the time. We're all guilty of sin. We all mess up. But still, whenever you mess up, Christian, make sure you repent of your sins. Make sure you don't stay with the guilt of that sin on you. Make sure that corruption doesn't stay on you and continue to fester in you. If you're not a Christian, you must believe Jesus is the Son of God. If you believe that today, that Jesus is the Son of God, as was testified in this Scripture, you need to do something about it. You need to do something about it, friend. You need to do something about it. Confess that today before this congregation. Confess it. Do something about it. Be saved today. Repent of your sins and be baptized. We've got water right behind us. You can be immersed right now. Right now, just as Jesus was, to be the example. You can be immersed right now. Get forgiveness of your sins. Be white as snow, as snow. And be added to the kingdom of God forevermore, for eternity. And remain faithful unto death, and you receive that crown of life. You receive heaven. Will you respond to the invitation today? Friends, Christian, non-Christian, if you have any need, please come to the front as we stand and as we praise God together.